Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Cat. I am Laurie Lawson, and my fantastic best world in the ever co-host is the amazing...
And I'm blushing, Laurie. Bernie Siegel here in Greenwich Village, New York.
Cool. Okay, and let me tell you a little bit about Coach Cat. We believe here if you change your perspective, you change your life. We developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches, and these coaches share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And today we have not one, but two marvelous coaches who agree with that philosophy. And I'll tell you how I know, because they wrote this great book called The Gift of Shift, Tracy McDonald and Ann Capaiotti. Let me tell you a little bit about both of them. I could spend the whole show just gushing about the book and talking about these authors, but I'm not going to do that. They are both international life leadership and mentor coaches. And relationship coaches, a whole bunch of coaching going on. And they both have obtained the ICF, Accredited Professional Certified Coach Certification. They are Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioners. They're certified practitioners of Neuro-Linguistic Programming and are members of the Association of Psychology. It's whatever it is, it's very impressive. So, welcome, ladies. We are thrilled to have you on this show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to let Bernie take the first question, and we're just going to, because we only have 30 minutes, and we're dying to know all about you guys and how this whole thing came about. So go for it, Bernie.
All right, great. And Anne and Tracy, pleasure to have you on our call. This question is for each one of you to address. You know, our listeners are always interested in our guest journey, the journeys that have led to where he's become a coach today, and a coach and more, obviously, coach, author. So if you could just let us know briefly a little bit about your journey.
Tracy, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. A little bit about our journey. Actually, my previous career was a dental hygienist and treatment coordinator for over 18 years. And as synchronicity would have it, I'd say a personal growth junkie since my early 20s. I think it was just a natural part of loving, learning, and growth and sharing it with others. And so people were saying, you should become a coach. You should become a coach. And when I actually looked into it and I seen an ICF-certified school, I think when I seen the word energy leadership, I think every cell lit up in my body like a Christmas tree. And so Anne actually and I met in Miami, Florida, and that's where we took our coach training. And I absolutely love, love, love coaching. And that's one of the things that Anne and I absolutely, along with many things, that we have in common. Anne?
Yes, absolutely. And for me, I say I was always becoming a coach, I believe, Bernie. I wrote on my website when I was trying to do the meet me section that I could have started my own Dear Annie column back in high school. And in university, I actually majored in journalism, and I think that's where I learned the power of asking questions to help people reveal and tell their story. But it was really after my divorce and being part of a support group that I was then tapped in to start leading that group, and people were asking for one-on-one time with me. And I was like, people want my guidance, just like they did in high school. But what is this? And I looked at going back to school and looked at psychology, but I kept hearing about this thing called coaching. And as I looked into that, I was just completely intrigued. And after retiring from a 17-year corporate career and remarrying and eventually relocating, life opened up for me to continue my education. And I also found that same IPEC training and that was ICF certified. And I actually looked at it for about 4 years and before I actually said yes to it. And I'm glad I said yes when I did, because as Tracy said, that's how she and I were led to be together. And ultimately, to become authors, I just kept kind of pushing Tracy, we need to write a book. As I was speaking to you before, we had created workshops together. We knew we were meant to create content together. We were instantly drawn together, and we were both living in Canada at the time and yet had gone to Miami for this training, and we just knew there was something special between us, and we started creating content, and in fact created content called The Gift of Shift. And as I pitched Tracy and she said no, eventually she came back to me and said yes, and so now we have this book together that we're both very proud of.
Great, thank you.
I'm going to do a full disclosure here. Bernie and I are also IPEC graduates, so it's like an old home week here. Them IPEC people are everywhere, man, and that's so cool that we all stay together, because Bernie and I have been together for, 12, 13 years? So,
wow.
It makes some long-time lasting relationships. Tell us about this book. It's called The Gift of Shift, and how did this come about? Because, and I'll be glad to say how special it is, but you can do that too. But how did this come about, and what makes this a different book than most books and most self-help books? Let me see, Tracy. Somebody answer me.
So The Gift of Shift is a collection of 12 personal stories, 6 stories each of Anne and I, to illustrate and inspire mindset change, you know, through increasing personal awareness and claiming the power of choice. And it's so much more than just personal stories. Each chapter, there's coaching questions to help people, you know, draw out the gift, draw out their story. And actually, there's a journaling section. And Anne and I even took it a step further in the beginning of the book under the section about how to make shift for yourself. We actually created a private Facebook group where people can continue to build a community and feel inspired. And so we meet on a monthly basis to, again, help people create shift for themselves.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, Laurie and Bernie, that the goal of the way we shared personal stories, we find there's power in that, and I think we would all agree in that people can connect and relate to the personal story. And Tracy and I wanted to show and illustrate by sharing our personal stories, which was a little bit vulnerable, I think you would agree, Tracy, to kind of go there. But it was to show how we truly went from kind of powerless ways of thinking and feeling and being in a particular circumstance in our lives, how we shifted into a more powerful way of thinking, feeling, and being, and changed the way we experienced life, even though we couldn't change the circumstance we were in. And then using those questions that Tracy mentioned to help people then process that common theme, because while their story would certainly be different, at least on some level, everyone's experience the things that we chose to share, because we each have more than 6 stories, you know, but we chose 6 stories from our respective lives and created this collection of 12 that we knew would be relatable to the reader, because everyone's experienced betrayal on some level. Everyone has had to deal with their inner critic. Everyone's experienced grief. Everyone's dealt with having to find courage or choose forgiveness or cling to hope. So we chose these things and then allowed people to process them through these coaching questions. And even if they were beyond it, to be reminded of a success they've had in life so they could say, hey, yeah, I did have that. I did get through that. And here's what it was about me. So they could use that through a current challenge in their life. Or they might recognize, this is where I'm stuck. This is why I have these conflicts now. And use the questions to help start creating that momentum, that shift to start moving through it and therefore beyond it.
So I want you to focus a little bit on putting the book together. If each one of you, and we'll start with Tracy, because it's easier to actually say to actually name one of you first. when you look back now, what's maybe surprised you, or what did you learn that was interesting after you've put the book together? You know, when you looked at the whole process of doing a book, which not many people have done, what surprised you about maybe what you learned?
I think the whole new appreciation for books, I think that was the biggest thing at the end. Just from every little detail and each step of the book, right from the beginning of building the contents to the layout to creating it itself. I think, as Anne said at the beginning, she's like, we should write a book. And in my head, I'm like, there is no way that I could write a book. Like, it really was a block. So just at the end of that, I think the appreciation was, there was so many steps to that, having a new appreciation of the book, even the cover. I mean, that in itself, I'm so proud of. I mean, we first wanted a picture of just a gift on the book, and actually it was kind of, looking back, as Anne always says, you know, turning pain into pleasure or purpose, you know, the book cover was supposed to be, by a publisher gave us options, and that didn't turn out. And so what happened is Anne came together and she put, you know, a couple of images and showed it to me, and we were just so excited. So just even sometimes going through disappointments that things weren't so easy, but we were just so grateful and happy how it all came together in the end.
Yeah. Yes, it truly was a labor of love, Bernie. At the end of the day, getting our story together was the easy part. And Tracy and I found ourselves coaching one another, you know, to actually get the stories where they needed to be to make sure that we had shared just enough of ourselves and to connect emotionally and balance that with the teaching points that we wanted to make sure we made. But it was all those tedious details of the publishing and the editing and the cover design, all of those that were really challenging. And I think what I found was we were being tested to what we preach. You know, because every day there was something we had to deal with, and we're like, okay, can we shift? You know, this is something, a circumstance that we don't have control over, but we have influence. Okay, what's the shift we need in this moment, and where are we going to go with it? And it really was a test of what we teach constantly, and a labor of love. And at the end of the day, yes, Tracy, the pain, the purpose, and when we get the feedback from people, like in the Facebook group that Tracy told you about, of what a difference the book has made for them, it's all been worth it.
Great. And the end result is fantastic. I know I've asked you this on a personal level and probably on other levels also, but I'm interested, you each did six little, I'll say, vignettes or scenarios or anecdotes, whatever you want to call them, stories. And what was the hardest one for you to write?
You know, Lori, people would think that it would have been The Gift of Charlie Brown, because that is the story about grief and the death of my firstborn son. But that's something that I've talked about for years, and that I love sharing about his life, because that keeps him present with me. And as difficult as that was to get through, it's something that I've now worked with clients and people through, how to move from through their grief and to create meaning and purpose for the life of their loved one. But that one was not the most difficult. Actually, the most difficult was The Gift of JOMO. And that acronym, if anyone's not familiar, is the joy of missing out, which is the opposite of FOMO, fear of missing out. And Tracy's the one that suggested I actually write this. She said, remember when you told me about, you know, when you moved, you gave up your job and you moved to Montreal for your husband's job? I'm like, oh, my goodness, yes. All that fear of leaving a career, especially after I've gone through divorce, and I've been financially independent, I've been a single mom. What if this marriage doesn't work out? Now I will have, you know, I'm giving up 17-year corporate career, I'm climbing the ladder, and I'm giving up my financial independence. So all this fear was testing me against a decision that I was making, which would have been for love. And that's where the joy is. So to me, it's love versus fear. And the pandemic was going on by the time I got to this chapter. Tracy and I started writing in January of 2020. But by the time I got to this chapter, which was the last chapter I wrote, even though it's not in that order, I was struggling. I realized we're all in the middle of this dance at the same time of fear and joy. We were all missing out on something. The whole world was in lockdown early in the pandemic, and we were all choosing a mindset. And there was one, maybe we were choosing it hour by hour even, based on what was happening in the news. But some people were like, yay, I get to stay home, you know, joy. I don't work today. Other people were like, what? I can't go to the gym. I can't go to my restaurant. I can't. And there was a lot of resistance and a lot of conflict and or fear about this virus and what it could do. And all of this was dance was happening. And eventually we had to rise up and say, you know, which dance am I going to do? And am I going to, which baby am I going to put in the corner, so to speak? And I know after 2 weeks with my Fannie making cheek imprints on my sofa and mindlessly eating and being inundated with negativity, I had to make a decision for myself to choose to dance with joy. And we saw people learning how to garden, getting outside, reconnecting with their families on a different level, and we saw other people get stuck in resistance. And I'm sure that shifted for people throughout. And who knew we'd still be here, you know, more than 2 years later. And for me, that was the hardest chapter because we were in it. And I saw my neighbors in it, and I saw my friends and family in it all at the same time. So it's more than just my story and what I did when I made this decision and chose JOMO over FOMO when I made the decision to give up my career, to move through the fear of what if my marriage doesn't work out? What if I find myself again, and let all those things creep in my mind when I made that decision to be the stay-at-home mom and support my husband.
Wow, what a story. How about you, Tracy? Yeah. Top that.
How about I add to that on what mine is? How about that, Lori? There's no topic.
That'll work.
I would say the most difficult story for me to write was The Gift of Breaking Free. And I would say that's because of the vulnerability of that story. I mean, obviously inner critic and all that, you know, has vulnerability too, but this was just a whole new level of vulnerability. And just even how much to share and was just hard to critique. And also, I mean, there was so much I wanted to talk about in regards to forgiveness. And, I mean, as Anne and I mentioned, we tried to keep the story short. So it's just like, okay, how do I really articulate what I'm trying to say here just to give the readers a different perspective on what forgiveness can be versus, you know, you don't just flick on a light and like, I forgive you and yay, you know, everything, the stars shine and you dance. And I was scared that's how it kind of came through. It was more of the story was more of to see if how it shifted, that experience shifted my perspective on what forgiveness really was. It was the letting go. I think on Oprah Winfrey's show, there was a guest there that said that forgiveness is giving up on the hope that the past can be any different. So forgiveness is really about healing.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. By the way, it was very powerful, Tracy, and still is when I talk to people.
Thank you, Anne.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So, Anne, I peruse both your websites. I get lots of, you know, questions from there. You have a focus. One of your specialties is divorce, breakup, coaching. And I know you've gone through some of those, I'll say, called traumas yourself. What are some of the challenges of working with people in that area? Because I can't think of anything much more highly charged. In fact, I think most murders come about because of relational problems and challenges. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what the challenges are there when you're working with that in that area.
Yeah, I do. I lead divorce support groups, and I try to help people separate the emotion from the business of divorce. And that's the challenge, is the emotion. And what I find is even when they get the business of divorce handled, they still haven't learned how to break up. So sometimes I'm working with people after we've gotten through the business of divorce, how to really break up with their ex. And to do so in a healthy way. And so it really gets back to to getting emotional awareness and self-awareness and then moving into self-mastery and to get people to stop focusing on the other person. And it's a very difficult thing to do, especially when betrayal is involved and the pain is so, so deep. And we have a story of betrayal in the book, It Gets with the Band-Aid. And betrayal is just one of the most hurtful human experiences there is. And so I don't try to move people fast. It's like Tracy was saying, forgiveness. It's not just, yay, you know, it's definitely a journey, and it's a healing journey, but it's one step at a time. And to get people just first to separate the emotion from the business so that they can make sound decisions, because it's contractual. And if there are children involved, it's you know, creating futures. So we try to separate that in the beginning, and that really is the biggest challenge, is to separate that in the beginning. Then we can go back and start dealing with the breakup itself.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, tell us a little bit about, first of all, are you guys still doing the Gift of Shift workshops?
We actually, since the pandemic, our focus went into the book, actually. And from there, we did a few workshops online, but we haven't designed one just for the Gift of Shift, so maybe that's something to come, Lori.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing Gift of Shift workshops. I was curious to know, as a result of the workshops that you and Ann did together, what do you think was the biggest? I know we could all, it's a constant game of how do we keep shifting and how do we keep growing, and especially if you've gone through the training that the four of us have gone through. But I was wondering, what was the biggest thing that you, the biggest lesson that you actually learned by collaborating with Ann to bring this gift to other people? And I'm not sure what the subject of your workshop was it about shifting?
Actually, when we did the initial Gift of Shift workshop, it was actually on the seven levels of energy, and it was all about increasing self-awareness. And at the end, it really was about personal choice, you know. And so the theme of power of choice is in the Gift of Shift, but the initial Gift of Shift workshop was actually about the seven levels of energy and how you know, we go up and down those levels all day long, meaning we shift into different energy modes from victim thinking to, you know, being more heart-centered and in service and compassion. So that was our initial Gift of Shift workshop, actually.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. I had no idea that was the origin, and then you just adapted it to this glorious book that you created. Fantastic. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
Several times you've mentioned conquering your inner critic, and we as coaches are really sensitized to that. But the general public oftentimes doesn't really know what you're talking about unless you focus in on it and help them understand it. So I noticed, Tracy, on your website you mentioned one of the things you work on is helping people conquer their inner critic. Could you just briefly talk about that?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing about conquering the inner critic is because most people, just like you said, if they haven't went through coach training or they're not so much into personal development, they don't recognize how much they're on autopilot and how that little voice in our head can really dictate everything. I mean the negative, self-sabotaging voice, you know, that voice in your head that you know, keeps you playing small. So when I say conquer the inner critic, it really is not about a battle. It's really about embracing that part of you. It's about understanding it. It's about learning from it what its message is there and what it's actually there to protect you from, so then, again, you can learn to work with it. And, again, just it's about embracing the whole totality of who you are.
Cool. And I'm curious where – I love your URL, Skyview Coaching. Where did that – I know one of your goals is to help people connect to their higher purpose. Where did that name come from, Skyview?
Aw, thank you for asking that question. So in the book, I have a chapter, The Gift of Buoyancy, where I talk about how my dad taught me how to swim in a lake back home in Alabama. But he insisted first that I learn how to float. And I had no idea how foundational that life lesson would be for me, for my life, but also for my life's work. But when you're on your back and you're floating in the water, you can hear your heartbeat in your ear, and you can hear your breath, and you see the whole sky above you. And when my husband and I were naming our consulting company, we named it Skyview because he's in aviation, but we're like, gosh, you know, when you stop and you reflect and you connect and you can have the broadest perspective possible, you're looking up. And so we had named it kind of in because of this thought process. So when it came time to name my coaching company, I went for the same thing. And it's all about looking up, because when we're looking down, we cannot see all our options.
Oh, that's such a cool story. I'm going to steal your name.
Thank you.
Sorry. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dad always spoke in terms of weather, you know, so it's always about what's happening in the sky, right? You know, the sky's falling. Or, how you doing, Dad? I'm fair to partly cloudy with a chance of sunshine. I mean, that would be his answer. So I kind of went with a weather theme for my whole business.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the time, and it always flies. It's 4:27, and I didn't want to leave without asking Anne. I noticed that you're writing another book called It Hurts, Coming to Terms with a Breakup, and I just want to know a little bit about your motivation to write it, and what are you hoping to accomplish by doing that?
From these divorce support groups that I've led for now more than 25 years, long before I was actually, you know, an official coach, people have asked for guidance. And what one thing that they've asked for is, what I've learned, and I've learned from coaching, is they need that validation early on about the pain. And then we can work through the pain and move them on. And so I just really want to create that for them. And I've promised this book for years. I've promised some kind of a guide and to help people through their pain in relationships, because everything's a relationship, isn't it? And what I find is people start harming themselves. They start self-betraying if they don't learn how to heal this relationship loss. So and research even shows if we don't develop a healing resiliency after even one emotional trauma, that we go through life unsatisfied, unhappy, even unwell. So I think it's imperative I do this. I've been asked to do it, and I feel called to do it.
Wow. And then it seems so relevant. In fact, I'm wondering if it also could be used for people who, let's say, get fired from their job because of their relationship.
Oh, yeah.
They had a relationship with their job. Now they don't, and I find people so emotionally stressed out by that.
Yes, any loss. And I intend to include that. I've had clients with those types of losses as well and get stuck in the same pain and need the same guidance. So you're absolutely right. Thank you for saying that, Bernie.
Great.
And we are almost out of time, and I want to tell you all how to get in touch with these lovely ladies. First of all, go check out the book wherever you get your books from, The Gift of Shift. You can find Tracy McDonald, and that's Tracy with an E, at tracy@macmaccoaching.com, and you can find Anne Papayotti at
Sky Ann, A-N-N, no E. No E, she gave it to Tracy. And
yes.
Ann at skyviewcoaching.com. We are so thrilled that you both came on, and we hope you come back. And I hope you have a new book under your arm when you do. But if you don't, you're still welcome back. Keep collaborating, guys.
You
guys are great together.
Thank you so much, Lori and Bernie.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show, and we will see you guys again next month. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.